This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FPL Wire. And today I have a very special guest, Fran, who is a great member of the community, excellent rank, absolutely flying this season. And he's on a wild card. So we thought, you know, why not get Fran on the channel, get his views on why he decided to wild card now, how his season has been going. But first, Fran, how are you doing?
Well, first of all, thank you, Praz, for inviting me to The Wire. It's an absolute privilege to be here. And yeah, I mean, the rank has been nice so far, but we'll see where it goes after this wild card.
Where are you now, approximately?
I think around 600-something in the world.
Oh, that's absolutely crazy. So tell me about your season. I mean, it's been difficult in the beginning for a lot of FPL managers with the Man United and the Chelsea shocks, but you actually enjoyed some returns from the Chelsea guys. So tell me about the beginnings of how you sort of went to these ranks.
Yeah, I think the beginning was really me going for Sterling and Gusto early, because I had already sort of picked up on trying to punt towards Kai Havertz and that sort of central forward shenanigans from the Community Shield, and then also Reece James. And I decided to replace the two of them with Sterling and Gusto. I then managed to capitalize on that Luton haul. And of course, I think as the rest of the community did, we suddenly moved more towards Chelsea and they kind of cooled off. But I had also owned a lot of United players. And so my season sort of went downhill again when, before Wildcard 8, obviously, I think we were progressively feeling a little bit worse about United and our triple ups over there. And I just moved into sort of a more Spurs template team, but also while sort of progressively getting a Salah Haaland draft in place, you know, in anticipation of some good Salah games.
You were game week 8 wildcard, but you kept Haaland. And despite that, you've sort of done consistently well. So after the wildcard, you'd say it's maybe the Sun, obviously the Salah, you probably got the captaincy right between Salah and Haaland as well a few times.
I think you make a good point. So most of the Salah only sort of managers, I think they outright overperformed compared to me as well. And we, of course, we had Haaland versus Brighton, Haaland versus Bournemouth. Those were fixtures where I think we lost out crucially. And it's not like, for example, Haaland's performance versus United magically saved our ranks. So I think definitely versus the sort of engaged crowd and the managers who had that Salah only template, I think I was losing out. But because of my sort of hot start, I think that's what allowed me to sort of maintain a positive rank during that time. And then only more recently did I sort of get some larger sort of rank rises and benefit from that, I would say.
And what's the more recent? Is it the captaincy? Was it the were you Watkins captain?
No, sadly not. I did go for a Palmer captaincy though. So that sort of softened the blow a little bit. But I think it's more so the case that I've gotten most of the large hauls recently and not missed any of them. So, for example, during that week, I still had Watkins as opposed to, you know, not owning him at all. I've had Saka recently. I've had Gabriel as well. Not Saliba, though. But on Gaming 21, another swing, I guess, versus more elite managers was me going Palmer captaincy. I remember in the Content Creators League, I think the top 20 had all gone Saka except for me, where I went Palmer. And then obviously that was, you know, once again, another strike of good fortune.
Nice. Look, really hope you continue this. And obviously the wild card is going to take you further up and we'll talk about that.
We'll see.
But I also want to talk about first just your approach. I mean, you've been playing FPL for 3-4 years now. You've got a few good ranks. So tell us about your rank history, but also how you've approached playing FPL, because I know you through a lot of, you know, the discussions we have on the analytical side. So how has that been for you in terms of the journey?
Yeah, it's a good point that you mentioned analytics. I think the journey has been sort of to embrace analytics as a little bit more of a football minded person, someone who definitely would watch all the matches, particularly during COVID where we had easy access to all the games. I took more of that approach and I definitely did not take planning as seriously. At the time, I wasn't really creating content for FPL that seriously. I was just someone who was casually creating football content actually with a friend of mine. And at the time, the YouTube channel that I run now was just purely just a post-match sort of tactics analytics or analysis channel. So more match of the day type stuff, as opposed to, you know, looking towards FPL and actually thinking about or making that mindset switch, really, where you're thinking about someone like Douglas Luiz. I think is such a perfect example. Someone who's on set pieces, someone on penalties, like those are avenues to FPL points and serious, you know, avenues to FPL points compared to just looking at a player that I liked on the pitch, like a Phil Foden, which I think is the perfect example of that. And yeah, that switch sort of happened during the Euros, where I spoke a little bit more to managers who also model for projected points and just thinking about as well, you know, even from, let's say, like a betting point of view, how can we sort of predict certain outcomes on things? And that took a bit of time, understanding how models work, understanding how we view analytics, and also, you know, taking my sort of, you know, layman football view judgment and sort of criticizing that, trying to see, you know, whether I could find any faults in it, but also trying to, you know, embrace that part of the approach. But what I like the most about analytics now is sort of that I can combine that edge of thinking about, you know, statistics like XG and XA, and combining that with what I think about from like a managerial perspective. Like, for example, what sort of minutes a certain player will get under a manager, under certain tactical styles, and over a run of games, of course, if there's anything that could, you know, sway me away from a player or sway me away from a team, for example. And I think Wildcard 8 is a good example of that once again, where I think even from an analytics point of view, a lot of people were still quite confident in United, but I really couldn't support what I was seeing on the pitch as well with my own FPL team. So that's why I made certain decisions within that way. And I think that's a good sort of reflection of my journey. And fortunately, of course, the ranks have risen as well. But a lot of that, of course, is partly due to luck. Another aspect I'd say that I didn't quite handle within my first 2 years of playing FPL seriously was just the planning element of things and just being a bit more patient in terms of understanding how important, let's say, not taking a hit would be in certain weeks and not reacting too emotionally to the game.
Absolutely. I mean, those are all the things that also echo with me in terms of good planning, making good decisions, using your football knowledge and applying it to sensible things and not going gung-ho. I mean, I have played for a very long time, but even I think over the last 3-4 years, there's a little bit of a fundamental change in terms of how we think about the game, how we think about certain decisions. And so it's great to hear, and it's really good to see that you're doing well this season. I mean, before we get to your wildcard discussion, tell us about your channel. I mean, I know you do regular YouTube content, deadline streams. I've listened to some of your stuff. It's really great. So do you want to give a couple of minutes on what you do and where people can find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on YouTube just searching for FPL space Fran. You can also find me on Twitter with FPL_Fran. I also make some TikTok content on the side, but that's something that's more geared towards a certain crowd, short form content. But yeah, as you said, obviously, most of the work that I do is around YouTube, mostly creating long form content, but looking particularly at a series that I like to do, which is sort of my unique selling point, which is the Cheat Sheet series, looking at sort of different price points in FPL and sort of creating what I would call almost like an efficiency of a certain player over, you know, the short to medium term in FPL. And then also thinking ahead, of course, with, you know, blanks and doubles in mind in this stage of the season, or obviously early in the season where we have less data, just what I'm seeing on the pitch, plus some early insight into, you know, analytics or the XG or the XA of a certain player, but also with the bit of a historical edge as well, just to make sure that we're not sort of overshooting or undershooting our expectations.
Nice. Look, I mean, the Wire listeners are all very engaged and
absolutely
players. And so I think if you haven't checked it out, FPL space Fran, That's actual space, not space. On YouTube, and yeah, I enjoy a lot of what you do. So keep it up, and guys, if you can subscribe, both like this video and subscribe to the channels, that would be much, much appreciated. Let's then go to wildcard. So first, tell me about, at what point in the season did you say, okay, wildcard 26 makes sense for me? Was it the double announcement for Liverpool and City? Was it more recently where you said, look, the path that my team is going towards, I'm going to dead end towards 25? When did you actually make the decision?
Yeah, I think I was definitely not set into a wildcard until game week 24. But I think recent outcomes have sort of swayed me more towards it. So I think by game week 24, the idea of wildcarding on 26 had been open to me. But the issue, of course, is that I've had Trent, for example, in my team, which obviously I'm sure you feel the common pain of that. Porro as well.
Well, I sold him for Van Dijk, so I can't really
share the pain. Well, no, I also did that move as well. So we'll see what Van Dijk does versus Luton. But I think it's more so the idea that, like, let's say moves like being forced to do Trent to Van Dijk would still put me one transfer down in terms of my Game Week 26 team. And I was thinking, yes, of course, I'm going to lose out on a lot of information compared to what managers will get in Game Week 27 and beyond. But why not take the opportunity to still maximize on the Liverpool double for Game Week 25 and then also sort of resuscitate my team on Game Week 26 as well? Because I have players like Porro, who, of course, I mean, he was not going to play in Game Week 26 at all. But even the doubt around him, those are small little things that sort of pushed me towards that sort of line of thinking. And then on top of that, too, I had someone like Eze, who unfortunately, you know, still doesn't look like he's close to football and things like that. In time, and also combined with the ownership of, let's say, Richarlison, Porro, Palmer, and Colwill, sort of pushed me towards that, basically, because none of the players that I really wanted to play on Game Week 26 were coming back, and my team, in terms of the shape of it, doesn't seem like it'll navigate, let's say, 26 and 29 well. So that's sort of what really led me to it. I think it's just a short-term gain of 25 and 26, really, compared to what I think I'll lose out versus the rest of the crowd, and yeah, people who'll be wildcarding much later than myself.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a great point on people who are thinking about it or on the edge of a wild card. So I think the biggest pro is you will get a huge gain in Game Week 26, especially if your team is in setup, right? A lot of people will have 6 or 7, will have to take hits of -8, -12. And this isn't the best week to take those hits because you want Spurs players who don't have a game. You probably want long-term, you want Liverpool players don't have a game. So there are aspects towards Game Week 20 and, you know, teams like Wolves and Man United have a superb game this week. So there is that massive gain to take in Game Week 26. I think another advantage of this week is Game Week 28, right? I mean, a lot of people are now stumbling upon Bournemouth, but you don't want to overload on Bournemouth because they're playing Man City this week. So transfers are so precious that you would want to get a Neto, you want to get a Solanke, but you don't want too many this week as well. So I completely get, I think the benefit you'll see is 26, even 28, and possibly depending on how you set up 29 as well. It's what happens beyond. But one question I always have is Game Week 26. If there's an upset or if there's something that changes next week, because obviously the FA Cup fifth round games happen next week, how does that navigate? So when we look at your team, I'll basically go through a little bit of iterating on what happens if certain things happen. But did that actually come into your thinking at all, that maybe I should just hold off a week and take a couple of hits if it's needed and just wildcard in 27?
Yeah, I just thought that why not plan for a scenario where I imagine that some upsets will happen. So I think if you look at some of Spaceman or Ben Krellen's graphics so far on Twitter, you'll see that actually our understanding of the blank is that we most likely expect around 5 blank game week fixtures, or maybe 5.2. I think that's the correct number, or 4.81. So the idea, of course, is that we know probably another game or two will be confirmed on the Game Week 29 slate. And the way I saw it was by looking at different scenarios based on gambling odds, or betting odds rather, for outcomes in terms of those FA Cup matches that you speak of. Can I set my team up in a way where I can still sort of lean towards those gambles? Because I think the positive, of course, of the gambles is that, you know, teams like Arsenal, they suddenly have a fixture You know, we don't really even care about Game Week 29 at all. There's no stress around it. But also, how good are a team like Arsenal, even if you have that blank game fixture? I think it's a fair argument to say that someone like Saliba, if you have three good fixtures in a row with him, that could actually rival any other player and any other team defender for four game weeks. So thinking about Game Week 29 just made me actually realize that the fixture is probably not that, as in the game week itself is not that consequential. So why not change my team to set up for 26 and the slate up until what you mentioned, of course, the 30 plus, with what we know now in terms of gambling odds. And yeah, that's something I did think about. Of course, as you say, the Game Week 27 upsets can be wild. Last season, we had some outcomes that were quite ridiculous. I think within the 5 to 20% range in terms of probabilities, and those came up on the slate. So of course, I am betting against that. That's of course why I'm wildcarding in the first place, but it is a calculated gamble, I would say. And I think even if I can, let's say, guarantee enough of a gain from 26 and 27, 28, as you say, the hits that I might have to take after this, I think could be justified.
Yep, absolutely. That's a good way to think about it. Without further ado, then maybe then let's get to the draft. So, you know, let's have the big reveal. And if you want to read out your team as it stands.
Yeah, so the wildcard draft as it stands has Martinez in goal, Reguilon, Pau Torres, Gabriel, Senesi, and Pedro Porro as my five defenders. This is conditional on Pedro Porro being fit, and if we get news on him. And then in the midfield, we have Odegaard, Hwang Ki-chan, Garnacho, and Saka. And in the front line, we have Haaland, Watkins, and Solanke. And the bench goalkeeper here in this situation is Neto from Bournemouth.
And you obviously have Son already in place on the bench.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I missed that.
No, absolutely. Look, first thing that stands out to me is you're not free hitting in 29 because you've got triple Aston Villa and you've got your double Spurs. So that's already five. You've got your Reguilon, which is six. If I read correctly, that's about it for now.
Yeah, you're correct. That's six. Only six. Yeah.
So what is... Actually, we'll come down to the path and carry this team forward to 29 in a second. Let's first talk about as it is now. Double Villa defense. So people are not confident on Villa at all. Is it because you have no third good option from Villa and you just go, okay, Martinez is as good as anyone?
So I think it's actually between Martinez and Flecken, like in this draft scenario. And the way I see it is I was looking more towards triple Villa and who I'd like to get from Villa. And probably the only two players that, you know, aren't here are Douglas Luiz and Bailey that we could seriously consider on a wildcard 26. I still think that I'd probably prefer Martinez and the punt on Garnacho than going for Douglas Luiz at this point in time. But of course, I think if I was a bit safer, you can see that if I went for Douglas Luiz, I'd probably have one more outfield player on 29. And that would lose me Garnacho, which I think I would be quite upset about. And I think that's pretty much what it comes down to. I like the idea of going for triple Villa and not having double Villa defense. But, I mean, obviously people are going to be thinking about the injuries and even, for example, the performance versus Fulham. And but just in general, that their defense probably this season hasn't lined up with where we sort of see them in the table. They're probably more a team that we look at for attack anyways. But I still think that, you know, the fixtures are there for 26 and 29 from a Villa defense point of view. So I'm sort of angling more towards that.
Bad, right?
Exactly.
I mean, for people like me who are looking to dead end, I like Villa a lot because 26, you have a playable fixture. 30 is a very good fixture because actually your Arsenal defenders are playing City. Mm-hmm. So you actually can play your Villa defender or defenders, depending on how many you have. I'll have two. So that's Villa. And I think, look, I think it makes sense to go for that triple up, especially if you're not looking to free hit in 29. I guess before we move on, your free hit, you've got both free hit and bench boost left, right?
Yes.
So your plan is free hit, bench boost in 34, 37.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So we will again come back to chips a little bit later. Let's focus on defense. So Gabriel, I think no brainer. You probably want to keep him forever until you can. But I'm interested, no second defender, but you went for Odegaard instead. So could you have thought about let's say Pau instead of Saliba and Odegaard instead of Douglas Luiz? I know it's a lot cheaper, but is it that you specifically wanted Arsenal attack because of the fixtures or something else?
Nothing particular. I think it's the idea that when Well, it really depends on Pedro Porro, I would actually say, because Pedro Porro is someone that I can see playing in 27. And if you look at, for example, my team, it doesn't seem like I've got a super strong team for gaming 27 and Pedro Porro's not fit. But if let's say Pedro Porro, so yeah, that's basically my assumption here. If I think Porro is ready to play for 27, I don't feel like Saliba is that important to my team. And I also think that there's not too many midfielders right now that I'd actually prefer to having than Odegaard. So it's also just about, do I have defenders that can cover some nice Saliba fixtures versus some midfielders who can cover Odegaard? I think Bruno is a good example of a player who certainly could cover what Odegaard does for this team as well. And I mean, that could be, that is something that I'm still considering. It's just more so that I like maybe saving a little bit of money here with this draft and deliberately not going Bruno, because actually this draft has a lot of money in the bank. And some sort of insane scenario where Salah, for example, might not be blanking gaming 29 anymore, I can be a bit more flexible and just sort of bit off Odegaard if I really need to.
Right. Okay, makes sense. Midfield, well, let's finish the defense first. So I think Porro, you talked about, Pau Torres, Gabriel, Senesi.
Yeah.
So I noticed you haven't gone Doughty, the fan favorite, yeah, the guy who also has a double. Is it just because Senesi has a better double, so you'd rather not commit on a Luton defender, because he could play in 29 as well.
Yep.
So
and I think you will.
About a Doughty versus Senesi.
So the way I see it, actually, there's like a sort of triangular relationship between Senesi, Porro, and Doughty within any wildcard 26 draft. The reason being, if let's say I was to bring Doughty into my team and also Pedro Porro, I think it sort of leaves my team a little bit too weak leading up to 28. So I'd much rather have either Senesi or Doughty be a 28 transfer, or I do the exact opposite of that. And if Pedro Porro is not available, I probably have Saliba at one point, and I actually bring in Pedro Porro later on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Gaming 29 when I need to call upon some Spurs players. So I think Doughty is still probably, a semi-booked transfer, because as you say, he's still a very good player for 28. And the key thing, of course, is Gaming 29, any, let's say, Luton player that I go for, it almost feels like you're hedging against a United player, right? Because, and I think that's totally fine, because I don't have perfect information like some other people will a week after me. And I think Doughty right now is actually still within my plans. It's just that he doesn't appear in this draft, and that's because I've got Pedro Porro instead for now.
Okay, that's on defense, and I do agree with you. I mean, I think the hedge that you're talking about, just for the listeners, is basically either Man United or Luton will definitely have a game, because either Man United will win their FA Cup or they will lose their FA Cup. So you can hedge and say, if I have a Garnacho and a Doughty, that's a confirmed one extra player for Game Week 29. So yeah, that's something that I was also thinking about. I would honestly maybe think about Porro to Doughty, if that is an option. It only leaves an option of going triple Spurs mid or something like that, closer to game week 29, and then you get the Luton at home game as well. But you've got to make some sacrifices in each spot. So your defense is good, but I'm actually more enticed by your midfield, because your midfield is the edge. that a lot of people won't have, because I can see a lot of people having your forward line by game week 26, so non-wildcarders. I see a lot of people not having the similar defenders, but matching the defensive capability, because people will go for a Villa defender this week. They'll have a Arsenal defender, probably even have a second Arsenal defender. Midfield is where this is really spicy. So I don't think people can get to a Huang unless they say, okay, I'm going to commit to a free hit, or because they just don't have enough transfers left. So the Wolves upside, tell me about that. Are you, again, you could have gone for a safer pick that plays into, you know, like a Bowen or something, but you've chosen a Huang for the upside. And talk to me about the pick.
Yeah, I think Huang's probably locked on any variant of a draft that I would create on Wildcard 26, just because if, let's say, you take the assumption that he's on penalties and also the fixtures that he has, like Sheffield United home, I wouldn't pass up on an opportunity to have someone like Huang basically against Sheffield United home. In fact, I think you could still probably squeeze another Wolves player in this draft if you were very aggressive, in place of, let's say, Garnacho potentially, or maybe the Reguilon spot. But that clearly shows that you're very neglectful of gaming 29, but you just like the upside, I think, of the fixtures around that. And I think that's something that us Wildcard 26 players have to think about. But yeah, with Huang, I think, as you mentioned, most people are probably going to be thinking about something between Huang or Douglas Luiz for this week, because Douglas Luiz obviously is the safer pick over the sort of general run of games. You know that he's going to play for sure. But with Huang, once again, it's that sort of argument with Saliba, you know, with three fixtures versus someone else with four fixtures. And I still see Huang's, for example, fixture run where he's got Fulham at home, Sheffield United at home, over the next three, as probably being someone that could even be better than Douglas Luiz, considering that there's also a small probability that he could play on Game 29.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for Wolves to qualify, they have to, or have a game, they have to lose themselves, and also mm-hmm. hope Bournemouth, if
yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, Bournemouth have to lose to Leicester.
Yeah, and so then in that case, both Bournemouth and Wolves will have a game?
Yeah, Bournemouth will play Wolves, basically.
Okay, that would be huge. I mean,
that would be huge.
Ignore Luton
yeah.
and just get triple up on Bournemouth because they have the much better double in 2028. And then Garnacho, obviously from a price perspective, makes perfect sense. But does he have enough? I mean, are you going to play Garnacho apart from this week at all?
I actually see Garnacho potentially. Let's say United actually beat Nottingham Forest. I would actually move Garnacho immediately on game week 27 to Richarlison. So he would be a one-week punt. And I'd probably actually, I'll give a question to you. I mean, what do you think between, let's say, if you were to compare Garnacho and Bruno Fernandes right now, and money wasn't an issue, I mean, how do you feel about those two assets?
It's honestly similar.
Exactly. And
what we do is basically, Man United are currently playing basketball. They're not playing football, right? So they allow, there's basically free movement in midfield between attack and defense. And so our thing is we defend. Someone gets the ball, makes a crossfield pass to Garnacho. He runs, either he can cross or shoot, sometimes miss. You know, in the last game, he could have had two or three returns. So he's a very good option. He's basically what Rashford is. It's just the price that is blinding people. He has really changed in terms of his, you know, my perception of him, because I thought he doesn't have as good a left foot, but he's actually got a great left foot as well. So him moving to the right hasn't hindered his goal threat. If anything, it's added his assist threat, because he then can cross to Hoyland or Rashford, who's coming in. Bruno is okay. Bruno is still Bruno, penalties and everything else. But I'm just not seeing him as further forward, because he has to work, you know, come back and help out a lot, because Casemiro is not playing that well. So I'd say Garnacho is fine. My main question was, because you have Son on the bench, mm-hmm. as soon as Son is back next week, you have eight very good attackers. And who will you basically bench? Because Garnacho plays Man City, I think the week after, right? Game week 27? Mm-hmm. Game week 28, you'll want a doubler or somebody else, and then you'll start thinking about blank game week. So therefore, Garnacho for me works this week, but then you can also go for Neto, because that's also a great 1 week point.
Yeah, I think the thing here is that Huang would probably fall towards the bench in gaming 27, because he plays Newcastle away, and obviously, even though Newcastle, as bad as they are now, I still think, I mean, especially, you know, me sort of moving towards an analytics approach, I'm very comfortable with having a deep bench. I know Flapjack doesn't like hearing this, but if Hwang has, let's say, 10 points versus Newcastle, which is very likely, we just saw Solanke get 12 in the same scenario. I'm totally okay with it. I would just play and have the best fixtures possible with Odegaard, Saka, Richarlison, Son, and the front line that you can kind of see right now.
I get it. I mean, I'm someone who's benched Foden's 20 points, Palmer's 10 points. You know, it is what it is. You are building up to a squad, especially at this time, because you need your 15 players. If you're having dead players, they won't help you in the doubles and the blanks. So I get it, and it's part of it. Yep. I would still recommend playing Hwang over Garnacho, Man City over Newcastle.
No, so Garnacho would be sold for Richarlison in this situation, if I'm to book that transfer. Obviously, if not, then yeah, Garnacho simply falls to the bench, and I can even roll in this situation.
Okay. I don't think we need to discuss Saka. That makes sense. Forward line, I want to chat about, because yeah, there's no Tony here. Mm. People would say, you know, this is your chance to get a Tony. He plays all the games, and he's a good pick. Why not Tony?
I think you're right, actually. There's a genuine question to be had about why I don't have Tony in place of Solanke. And because I think if you took the logic of my team, Tony would come in probably for Haaland on gaming 28, because that's not a good Haaland fixture at all. And even though Tony himself doesn't have a good fixture, it's sort of a transfer that would allow me to prepare for gaming 29, right? And that's something that I could do. And so if I'm to, let's say, go Tony on gaming 28 anyways, and have him benched in my team, which would be quite strong anyways, I suppose I would just be playing Watkins and Solanke. And then the comparison, of course, would be, why not just start Tony, Watkins, Haaland, as you mentioned? And then the comparison is Tony versus Solanke and their specific fixtures in gamings 26 and 27. I think one of the concerns is that, let's say there are more crazy upsets that I can't react to. I don't necessarily love the idea of booking a transfer that has to happen, like no matter what, on a wild card, which would be the case where if I go Tony in place of Solanke, I'd have to do. So I'd have to book Haaland to Solanke on gaming 28, and that would be a must do. I'm still actually deliberating it, because I think, you know, sometimes we just have to take these opportunity costs in FPL. I think you'd have to say that Tony's fixtures are better than Solanke, but the question, of course, is it worth getting that potential extra information that would lead me towards a slightly different transfer than the simple Haaland to Tony that you suggested would most likely, you know, be something I end up with anyways.
I was just going to say, the other thing is you are then committing to selling Haaland.
Exactly.
If something changes, then you don't have to sell Haaland to get Solanke. So that also, I guess, it sits well with people. But I presume you plan to sell Haaland in gaming 29, right?
Yeah, or even gaming 28.
Or 28.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's on the team. So I like it. You talked about areas where it could change. It could be the Pedro Porro spot. It could be the Garnacho spot. It could be a forward slot with Solanke. Other than that, you feel fairly settled?
Yes, because I think when you look at this team, obviously, even if I have three transfers, you know, let's not assume that I take hits, I would only land with 9 players on gaming 29, you know, on the current slate. And I think that's something that I'm comfortable with right now. Like 8 to 9 players on that fixture window is something that I'm fine with, because as you say, there are many things to sort of think about gaming 30 plus, particularly if I'm going to free out in 34. I'll need to spend as many transfers as possible to maximize gaming 37. And that's something I'm comfortable with, basically losing a little bit value on gaming 29. And some managers will probably free hit 29, wildcard 35, which I think, obviously, those are the key weeks where I might lose out a lot, and we'll see what happens. But of course, the flip side is I should be able to advantage myself in the short term, and hopefully I do.
Right. Okay. So now that you've alluded to it, tell me your plan, your path to get to these 9 players. So you're selling Garnacho for Richarlison. So you have your 6 Villa and Spurs and Reguilon, that's 7. Mm-hmm. Could you go from that, from 27?
Yeah, so Haaland to Tony would be another move.
That's 8 now?
Exactly. And then that 9th move would be, it really just would depend on if there's any upsets. I think I'm a little bit more open to whatever really happens.
Okay, so it could be Hwang to Madison. It could be, I don't know, who plays Bowen? Or a defender, I suppose?
I think one move, obviously, that I could make, I could simply go back to Douglas Luiz. It's not really a problem.
Villa.
Of course. was I actually thinking about?
Because most of your free transfers are probably coming in midfield, and this is where people are struggling this week.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So this could merit not going Pedro Porro and getting Maddison.
Potentially, yeah. When... That's something I did think about. But then I was also concerned that my defense would be quite poor. Plus also, I need some money for Salah as well on Game Week 30. So I was thinking Odegaard would be my placeholder for that.
That's going to be my next question.
Yeah.
As you come out of the blank, so let's assume you get a ninth player and you don't take any further hits. My concern personally is basically how do you come out of your Game Week 29 mess? And I think one way is you're not going to mess up your team. You're not going to go for your triple, Luton or whatever. By the way, Luton could be players you could target. Solanke to Adebayo, for example.
I was actually thinking about it. Sorry, because obviously I would probably go Doughty with one of the players within my team. Like, let's say Senesi to Doughty would be the move on Game Week 29, potentially.
Or you'd probably do it before, right? You'd probably do Gabriel. You need a defender slot to get to Doughty in the game week before because you want his double as well.
So yeah, no, that's a good point.
So I think some thinking around the defender slot will help.
Such a good point. Sorry, because the thing is, I have a draft with Ait Nouri where I go Ait Nouri now to Doughty. Right. I'm trying to think what I was actually planning with this transfer, if you don't mind so much.
That's fine. I'm gonna talk about the future while you're thinking about the Game Week 29.
Yeah.
So for me personally, one of my fears wildcarding earlier is basically when I come out of Game Week 29, Game Week 30 and beyond is a period that is still unknown, right? I mean, at the moment, even if next week's fixtures, we find out that, we now know the quarterfinalists of the FA Cup, we know the blank for 29. We still don't know for sure how 34 and 37 look because... Let's say if Chelsea have Liverpool as their quarterfinal. Now, that can go either way. If, in terms of who then plays in 34 versus who plays in 37. So that's my first concern coming out of 29. And my second concern is my premiums. Like, you're selling Haaland here. You'll probably, because you've sold Haaland, you can afford a Salah. But can you afford a Salah, Son, and Haaland? No.
No, there's no way.
I think even wildcarders could do that.
No. So
are you then saying that when you will come out of your wildcard, you're going to be Haalandless?
Coming out of the wildcard, I'm aiming to be Haalandless and going towards Salah.
Just out of 29, I mean.
Yeah. I would get Salah in 30, I think it has to be. Because Salah wouldn't be a 29 player. So 29 would probably be one week where whoever plays, I'll probably replace one of the players on my team. Probably an Arsenal player, as you mentioned. Because the funny thing is I've been on Saliba drafts recently, so I was thinking obviously Saliba is a player that can leave my team. Odegaard probably would be the one who leaves my team on Game Week 29. And then on Game Week 30, I could go into Salah as well with the sort of Haaland money. But of course, if let's say I want to keep Haaland instead, it might just have to be the hokey-cokey like last season when we kind of did the same thing with Haaland when he had a blank. And I'm comfortable with that. I think I'd have to just basically hope that Son carries me throughout Game Week 33, and then beyond that, I'd probably have to rejig my team depending on how 37 is outlined. Because I think the key thing here is that if I wildcard early and I don't free hit 34, clearly, of course, I'd have even more of an advantage in the short term, but there's no way I can actually really navigate 34 and 37 because the fixtures just don't overlap at all, no matter what happens.
You need that free hit.
Yeah.
You need that free hit. I mean, on one hand, I think people who are wildcarding now to do the homework and just see what if you free hit it in 29.
Yeah.
Because, and this can change next week as well, if there's an upset or if there's a change, because if Bournemouth have a game, then suddenly you say, yeah, I have triple Bournemouth. I have three Villa, three Spurs. I have a Wolves. I'm actually fine. Or you may actually say it's different and I want to free hit this week. And because Bournemouth don't have a game, Bournemouth have good fixtures coming out of the wild card as well. Game Week 29 as well. So it could be a good way to keep your Haaland, keep your Bournemouth, keep your Arsenal, and just basically bin 29 and free hit. But as you said, then you'll give up some upside in Game Week 34, which is very different in terms of the doubles for Game Week 37. So it's a tricky one in terms of when you plan your free hit.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, obviously. And that's why I've tried to reduce the amount of players that are confirmed for Game Week 29 right now. Because I think if I, let's say, went for a draft that was, assuming the worst case scenario, let's say Luton and Nottingham Forest is the only game that will be played, then I'd probably have players like Bowen and Douglas Luiz in this draft for sure. That would guarantee me an extra outfield player in terms of how I maximize triple Aston Villa. I'd also have Flecken as a goalkeeper. And that would be sort of the non-gamble strategy. But yeah, I think the key thing here, of course, is that my team basically looks like what would be close to a wild card 20, a free at 29 team, because I've got the additional Wolves and United players. And I mean, there could be some other assets that you'd look at more so. Like, let's say you could actually include Neto from Wolves in your draft, Adalo in your draft now, particularly with the injuries with the United squad. And that would be a free at 29 template. But I like the idea that hopefully some upsets will land. And probably the only upset that I can't really manage well for right now is a Newcastle upset, a City upset, and a Liverpool upset. Although the City upset is also, I think, based on whether Brighton get upset as well. So that feels very insulated. So I haven't planned for that. But yeah, Liverpool and Newcastle could hurt
City,
me the
Liverpool
most.
Liverpool and Brighton, yeah, City, Liverpool, Brighton, you can be fairly sure. Although with Liverpool's injuries, who knows?
That's a good point too. I mean, we'll see how they play versus Luton, but yeah, that could be quite scary.
If there's a Liverpool upset, that'll trigger a lot of wild cards because people will have sold their Liverpool this week. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting too, because also what Liverpool assets would you go for if they have these very serious injuries?
There's not much.
How Salah is, but he seems to be injured potentially, and he'll have to be managed.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of questions, and yeah, maybe it's a 28 wildcard instead of 27.
That's a good point.
I don't know. A lot of questions. A lot of people like me are leaving the thinking and the brain power to after knowing the FA Cups, but we're leaving a lot of value this week on the table, and this is where you will make your gains. I mean, I honestly think this team beats the average score by 15 points this week, and you could just make all your gains this week because of that. So you know, people shouldn't be shy about thinking about wildcard if their team needs it, especially if you're in -8 territory to play single game weekers. You need to be thinking a little bit harder. I had tweeted this, I think, 4 days ago. This is why when I heard that you'd click the button, I was like, I have to speak to him, because I tweeted this, that people need to think about game week 26 wildcard a lot more and not be afraid of, it's so far out, my bench boost in 37, I'll have to. What do you think about this? I mean, if there's a couple of injuries, 2-3 injuries, is that, I mean, obviously it does make you a little nervous, but is that something that you considered? Because then you'll be fixing your bench players in 34, 35, 36, leading up to 37.
Yeah, I think that happens every season. I remember last season we had Shaw, for example, and you know, within a week of the double game week, he's suddenly lost to us. And these things happen all the time. I think, you know, injuries, you just have to just take the losses as you come. And yeah, I mean, wildcard 35, it feels like that would work for most managers who somehow have no issues, you know, leading towards that sort of fixture scenario. Because I think even recently, of course, some people who wildcarded had gone into players like Konsa and Trent, and suddenly their team looks calamitous. Whereas someone who might not have owned Konsa or Trent, they're suddenly laughing, and that doesn't really matter, you know, when you wildcard, but who you own and who actually gets injured. So yeah, I think clearly I'll struggle for Game Week 37, but when you have a bench boost as well, I think that's, and conveniently as well, if you bench boost, let's say, close to the end of the season, you don't feel like there's not going to be serious impacts when there's only one fixture left to go in Game Week 38.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
And because of the pricing of the season, I think a lot of us have probably carried, you know, more superior bench players than any other season in FPL. Like, maybe within the first half of the season already, most people would have had 14 good players compared to the usual, let's say, 12. And that's a huge change because of what is sort of given to us by price. So, for example, this week, if I, let's say, go Ait Nouri on this draft and see him as a little bit of a punt, I think he could replace Reguilon, because you could argue that the upside of getting to play Sheffield United at home is basically worthy of maybe two Brentford games. And suddenly I have a much more convenient solution to getting Doughty in my team. Just thinking back to, of course, that question earlier. And those kind of things are just realities. And I, if injuries happen, I'll definitely throw a lot of hits around Gaming 37.
Have you thought about Gaming 37 at all in this draft?
Like, I actually have, but not in this draft. This draft, I think, doesn't feature, let's say, a double gaming keeper on 37 or two of them, right? I think there's a world where you can go Kaminsky Ederson if you are completely faithful towards United, exactly. And you could obviously still have Ederson. I think Vicario as well could very well, maybe. But I think his fixture could even drop a week earlier on Gaming 36. Right. So these are things that I don't want to plan for so far in the distance. Like Leno, for example, is a keeper that I haven't paid any attention to, even though he could very well be a double Gaming 37 keeper. Just because, first of all, his fixtures are bad and it's too far out. And I'm more than prepared to take a hit when the time comes to go for a goalkeeper.
Yeah. Awesome. That has been very good. And sorry for sometimes the grilling. But yeah, I just wanted to get your thought process, which has been absolutely brilliant as ever. So I hope people who are considering it or are on a wildcard, this has been helpful. Fran, anything else in terms of your team or your thinking or your planning that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously still like in the phase of just moving through tons of drafts. So I've been sifting through probably 15 to 20. So apologies about not having my Gaming 29 transfers right. But I think the key thing that people want to look at is just being flexible to the idea that an upset will happen. And whatever amalgamation of team that you have, it's very likely that you could be better covered for Gaming 29 than you actually think. So don't lose your mind over getting West Ham and Burnley players because it's very unlikely that you'll care about them. Try to prioritize, obviously, teams with good fixtures and, you know, as I said, plan for what will be a very difficult 34 and 37 period. I think that's the only thing I would say.
Excellent. You've been brilliant, Fran. It was lovely to have you on. Guys, check out FPL Space Fran on YouTube if you want to check out more of his content. Good luck with your wildcard. And I hope we'll see more updates either on your channel or on Twitter, wherever. And yeah, happy tinkering.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me, Prez.
Pleasure.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.